5 minutes after 11 Central African time. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Ahlan wa sahlan wa marhaban bikum. It's a beautiful Tuesday morning on our program, The Bliss of Marriage. My name is Arafat bin Ibrahim Hatia. That's me. I will be with you from now till 12 o'clock, inshallah. I see our beloved Haji Suleiman Esop. Is there any good news on the way or not, Haji Suleiman? Gee, he says, Molana, we make shukr and we carry on. That's Haji Suleiman Esop. We're waiting for him to give us the good news, if there is something in the lucky packet or not. So he says, Molana, we make shukr and we carry on. He says, Molana, you know, they say, chala kare. Chala courage. Chala courage. Hey, this is Haji Suleiman Esob. Well, today is the 23rd of Safar 1444, corresponding to the 20th of Sep 2022. Well, he's our beloved engineer. He will be with us from now till 12 o'clock, inshallah. Remember, 084-786-3132. That's our WhatsApp number, 084-786-3132. International overseas listeners, +2 784-786-3132. +2 784-786-3132. Well, we want to welcome all of our beloved, wonderful listeners of Sirius FM, Haji Faisal Asmal in Hafiz, Yusuf Asmal and company. We welcome the listeners of Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'a. Yes, if you are with me this beautiful Tuesday morning, you can pose your questions, whatever you would like to know about our program, The Bliss of Marriage. You know, some people are happy, some people are sad, some people are crying, some people are over the moon. Some people are just overexcited. I see Haji Suleiman Esop. He's in a good mood. He's looking very, very happy. He's looking bubbly. Today I have to call him not the man in black. We have to call him the man in white. He's got a white topi on. He's got a white kurta on. He's got a white socks on. He's... Look at him. He says, no, Molana, I've got a rainbow color, blue, yellow, pink, I don't know what color. That's the rainbow color nation, Haji. He says, Molana, we've got the puzzles on the foot. That's Haji Suleiman Esob. Yes, we're waiting for our beloved, honorable, respected Fadilatul Ustad, Hazrat Molana Mufti Abdul Qadir Hussein, Hafizahullah. I see the questions are starting to come in. So please do feel free, whatever you feel that you want to know or you want to find out from our beloved, honorable, respected Fadilatul Ustad, please do feel free and do ask him and pose a question. And then inshallah, our beloved senior Ustad will be guiding you and us and all of us along inshallah on our program, The Bliss of Marriage. Well, it's 9 after 11. South African time. Let's welcome our beloved, honorable, respected Fadilatul Ustad. Ustad, welcome to The Bliss of Marriage. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Ustad.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Barakallahu feekum wa arafat. Jazakallahu khairan.
There's a listener from overseas, Ustad. They want to know, what is the youngest Islamic age we can let our children get married? My daughter, she's only 16, Ustad.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد All praise is due to Almighty Allah, the sustainer, nourisher and cherisher of the universe. Peace, blessings and salutations be upon our beloved master and leader, Nabi Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Remember, the best example in this case will be that you look at Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala and Sayyida Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha. So when Sayyida Fatima radiallahu anha married Sayyidina Ali radiallahu in the second year of the Hijrah during the month of Ramadan, after the Battle of Badr. She was 15 and a half year, 15 years and 5-6 months, so 15 and a half years approximately. And she was happy. Habibuna Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam was happy. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu was happy. So then the marriage took place. So if you want to get your daughter married at the age of 16, so we will say Islamically, there's no prohibition on that. However, there are 3-4 issues. I'll give you advice. Your daughter, is she capable of running a house? And by that I mean, does she know how to cook? If you take our daughters and that in South Africa and in the Western countries, majority of them don't even know how to cook. So how are you going to get them married? How they will run a house and so forth and so on. So that's number one. Number two is this, are they mentally prepared to get married? Most of our daughters, when they are that age, they're still nadan. They're still very naive and very, very simple in this sense. You just raise your voice or you shout them, they'll start crying and so forth. So if the husband one day just raises his voice, she will phone her parents and say, pick me up, because most of our daughters are so spoiled. I mean, we need to be honest regarding these issues. Then third one is this, if she gets married at the age of 16, at the age of 17, for example, she becomes a mother, then will she be able to take care of the child and children and so forth? So like that, there are many, many issues. But from an Islamic perspective, if you are happy, the parent, she's happy, your future son-in-law is happy, Islamically, there's no prohibition on that. And one last point we must raise, that you know, sometimes we live in Western countries. This is the hypocrisy of the Western countries. The person can commit fornication, adultery, all that Allah forbid, at that age of 12, 14, 16, 18, 20, whatever. So that is no crime, according to them. They'll tell you consenting adults. But you must remember that once you get married, then they'll tell you in some countries, you can't get married before the age of 16 or before the age of 18 or before the age of 17 and so forth. So you just don't fall in that trap there. Then what happens is you just need one troublemaker to go to the authorities and then they want to investigate and so forth. So there's many, many issues that you should look at. So my main advice to you will be that Islamically there is no prohibition, but you know your daughter better and look at the circumstances and see if she's really prepared to get married physically, mentally, and is she prepared to run a home and so forth. These are the main issues that you should grapple with.
Ustaz, married for 4.5 years, and in 4.5 years my husband hasn't given me nafaqah. I mean, is this a reason for where a woman can ask for talaq, Ustad?
Remember that I'm surprised that you woke up after 4.5 years. Nafaqa means that the husband has to provide roti kapra makan, meaning he has to provide for the food, he has to provide for the medication, he has to provide the shelter, he has to pay for your clothing and your basic needs and necessities. If your husband has not done that for more than 4 years, 4.5 years, or whatever the case might be, 100% it is a valid ground. So if he does not want to issue talaq and divorce, you go to your imams, to your maulanas, to your sheikhs, to your jamiats, whoever you have confidence in, and you go and apply for a fasakh, an annulment. That is, if he's not interested in changing his ways and so forth and so on. It's not your duty that after marriage that you must go and work and you must support him, support the children, and look after the expenses of the house and so forth. Islam never allows that. Remember this. So it is the onus and responsibility of the husband. He must be the one. وَلِلْرِجَالِ عَلَيْهِنَّ دَرَجَةٌ. Allah Ta'ala gave the husband 1 degree above the women. So darajatul infaq, he must spend on you, not you spend on him. Darajatul imara, that he will be the captain and the head of the family, and not you will be the head of the family. So all these are clear-cut issues. issues as far as Islam goes. So either he changes his ways and methods, and then you can still think about reconciling. If he's not prepared to, and you request the talaq because you're fed up and frustrated now, so he says no, then you go to your local imams and ulama and apply for a fasakh, annulment of marriage. Both parties have to be present there. It will be like a court case taking place, and they will find him guilty, and they will tell him that he must issue the talaq. He will say no, then they can use the overriding powers and in that way annul the marriage.
Somebody says here, let me just see the question. I really want a Marka Sahaba decoder. I listen to it on Radio Garden most of the day, but it's a bit difficult with internet issues. I love listening to all the programs the whole day. Where can I get a decoder, and what is the price of it, Ustad?
The price of it is 600 rand, but it depends where you are. If you are in Johannesburg area, or in Durban area, or in Northern Natal area, so, and if you are really like poor and so forth, we will give it to you free of charge, inshallah, as a gift from the Capital Group, and in that way there you can benefit, inshallah. So that will be our advice to you. Just tell us where you are, and inshallah you can phone our brother Suleiman after 12:15, inshallah, 12:15, after 1 hour or so, 011-854-2990, and inshallah then you furnish him with your details, and then he will tell you what the procedure will be. That if you are really needy, we'll give it to you free of charge. It's not zakat, it's a gift from the Capital Group. Allah Jalla Wala reward them in this world and the year after.
I see it says a respected Mufti Saab, honorable Mufti Saab. What does Mufti Saab know about Nadima of Afghanistan to advise the listeners, Ustad?
Remember that I will not advise anybody to attend her program. That what we read in the profile and so forth, she's a comedian. First of all, to have a male comedian is haram. So what about a female comedian? Second one, she's definitely anti-Taliban and anti-hijab and anti-parda and so forth. So therefore, we dead against the people who are hosting her. We dead against the people who are promoting her and so forth and so on. We don't curry favor with any person, any organization, any politician or any government. Our aim must be to propagate and promote Islam in its pristine purity, and we must defend Islam, defend the Quran Sharif, and defend the Sunnah Mubarakah, defend the honor of the beloved Sahaba, the beloved students of Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Women like this, they have come here to fool you. You must remember that, and undermine the true teachings of Islam and so forth. You know what Nabi alayhi salam said? Wailullahu, wailullahu, wailullahu. That who, ya Rasulullah, woe and destruction to them, woe and destruction to them. For who? Nabi alayhi salam said, those people who speak and then you make you laugh and so forth, like what we will call comedian and so forth. So it's totally condemned. And when they start making a mockery of the parda and hijab and so forth, then they go right out of the fold of Islam. I want all of you, the esteemed listeners of Sirius FM, all the listeners of Radio Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah, and Garden Radio and so forth, and maybe some Ansar listeners also are listening. So I want you to make a note, write this down, Surah 9, Chapter 9, verses 65 and 66. I repeat, Surah Tawbah, Chapter 9, verses 65 and 66. وَلَئِن سَأَلْتَهُمْ, and if and when you ask them, you ask the people, that لَيَقُولُنَّ, you ask them, what are you doing all these things? What will they say? إِنَّمَا كُنَّا نَخُودُ وَنَلْأَبُ, we are just giving entertainment and playing and joking and so forth. قُلْ سَيَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ أَوْ حَبِيبَنَا صَلَّى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ أَبِ اللَّهِ, you play with Almighty Allah, وَآيَاتِهِ, and his verses, وَرَسُولِهِ, and Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, كُنْتُمْ تَسْتَهْزِئُونَ, you mock at them, you scoff at them, you belittle them, ridicule them, لا تعتذروا. Do not cite any excuses now. قد كفرتم. You have become a non-Muslim now. You out of the fold of Islam. بعد إيمانكم. After you had Iman. So it shows chapter number 9, verses 65-66. Anyone who mocks Islam, makes comedy of Islam, and jokes about Islam, ridicules it. So when you study this verse here, then remember, you'll come to know. So this sister from Afghanistan remembered that with her shows and so forth, and making a mockery of Islam, is totally haram to attend it, and is totally haram to promote it. And the people who invited her here also must be condemned. Remember, totally haram it is.
So Ustaz, on that question also can be like my case. My husband doesn't give me nafaka, but he spends more than enough on all my needs. Ustaz.
So finish, that is nafaka. So what you understood nafaka? You understood nafaka, every week he must buy for you. You must remember a new dress, and every wedding, new pair of shoes, and every function, new bag and that. So if he is fulfilling your basic needs and all that, so that is nafaka. So then you do not have any grounds for divorce or talaq, or any grounds for fasakh and annulment. You must make shukr and be grateful to what he is providing for you, and beg Almighty Allah for barakah. Read surah wadduha. See, read ya wadda. Read ya fattahu, ya fattahu, ya wahhabu, ya wahhab. At this time here, yeah, 11 o'clock, 11:30, read 2 rakat salat, 4 rakat salat, whatever, and you beg Almighty Allah salatu duha, and Allah jalla wala will open many, many doors for you, inshallah.
Somebody wants to know, is it permissible to place babies on the stomach, Ustad?
Remember, for children and babies is no problem and so forth. Sometimes they want to sleep that way, or sometimes, you know, for digestion purposes and so forth. So it's small, small babies and children. But for you, the big adults and so forth, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was walking in Medina Munawwara and saw a person in a masjid, and he was lying like that on his stomach and so forth. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tapped him with his foot mubarak and said, Dij'atun la yuhibbuha Allah. This is a type of lying down. Allah don't love it. So therefore, in Islam, when you want to sleep, when you want to rest, then you recline and you sleep on your right hand side, or you sleep on your back and so forth, not on your stomach and so forth. So that is not permissible, and there's clear hadith in that. Open Mishkat Sharif, open Musnad Ahmad, various compilations. So deliberately to do that for people who are adults and so forth, male, female, so we must abstain from that.
Ustaz, should a man get his wife's permission to go out in Jamaat, Ustad?
Remember, you want to go out in Jamaat, then you must make all the necessary arrangements. You can't just say, no, I'm going out in Jamaat, but you got trail of debts. You don't make security arrangements for your wife and children. So who will be there to look after them? And you know, South Africa today is one of the crime capitals of the world. So make all your necessary arrangements, and then you go out in Jamaat. And if you haven't made Zehen Sazi, you know the term you use in Jamaat, Zehen Sazi. So you should first worry about your wife and children, that they must also think about Tabligh and Jamaat and Da'wat and so forth. That you want to go outside and remind others, but you never reminded your wife and so forth. So all these things here, my brother, Jamaat work is the best work. Let me be clear on that issue. For the past 100 years, Islamically, Hazrat Maulana Muhammad Ilyas, Nawwarallahu Marqadahu, started this work in 1925-1926 in India, in Mewat, near Delhi and so forth. So Islamically, plus minus approximately 100 years ago. So I went to so many countries, and if the thing that is saving the public, remember, is the work of Dawat Tabligh, but the one is the usul. We must practice on the principles of it as well. So remember, you'll have to tell your wife, otherwise how are you going to go and so forth, and who will be be there to take care of them and their needs and that. And you got trail of debts, you must fulfill all that first. Life is all about al-aham fal-aham. What means the life we need to prioritize what is most important, and then you worry about jamaat. Jamaat you can do every day, even from your house. You make ta'aleem every day in your house, and you make local gasht and all that you can do. So all that is tabligh and da'wat. So remember, brother, that we must get our priorities right also.
I see the sister says that it's very surprisingly, Mufti Saab, my husband goes out for 3 days jamaat. His phone is off, no contact, no whatsoever, and he just returns on Monday. When I ask him where he went, he said, that doesn't concern you. I went in the path of Allah, Ustad.
So you must remember, he's an ignorant person. He speaks like that. Maybe he's telling you jamaat, but he's gone to somebody else, you know. So what you must do is that there are elders in that town. They call them zimmidars, the responsible brothers. So you must contact them. You, as the wife, contact them and ask them that this husband of mine, he's saying he's going out in jamaat. Is he really going out in jamaat, or is busy somewhere else playing golf and all these type of things? You know which golf I'm speaking about. So you must remember these things, yeah? That many a time that they make the women fools. Jamaat work is the best, but sometimes you get one, two brothers that they don't follow the rules, and also they got other agenda. When I was in America in 2000, so, you know, people came to know that I give advice and so forth. So there was one lady, one husband. There was one husband, you know. There was the opposite case. So he came to me, this husband. He was a doctor and so forth. So he told me, I want to speak to you in private. I said, fine, speak. He said, you know, my wife, she's so good that she gives me the encouragement, targhib, and say, go out in jamaat 3 days and go out and so forth, and lot of sawab and lot of this. He said, I thought she's so good. But then I started realizing that why she's encouraging me so much, that when I used to go, she was busy with the boyfriend and with this one and this one and all. Then the marriage ended in divorce and so forth and so on. So sometime people will use the word of jamaat and the name of jamaat and so forth, but they got other hidden agenda and ulterior motive and sinister reasons. So therefore you must be very careful. Therefore I'm telling you, he is being very stubborn, very evasive. Dal mein kuch kala hai. What you say in Urdu, dal mein kuch kala hai. Where they smoke, there's fire also. So we can't accuse anybody without evidence. So you just have to phone 2 or 3 of the responsible brothers and ask them that this husband is saying he's going in jamaat and so forth, and we can't contact him, and he says it's not my business. Is he going in jamaat, or is he doing some unda danda business? There's some of the other things going on.
Somebody says, Ustaz, Allah is watching over us, but I keep questioning him because I am looking for a husband and just can't seem to find one. Anonymous Ustaz.
So remember that, yeah, we got a husband ready-made pakki pakai for you. So in Urdu they say, when you have a ready-made roti or ready-made bread, so they say pakki pakai, you understand? So we got ready-made husband for you. So yes, his profile, yes, his biodata, yes, his CV, curriculum vitae, yes, his resume. You see how many words I use for you now. So you must remember his name, Suleiman Esop. He's age 35 years old. He's got 2 sons, mashallah, 10, 11 years old. They living with their mother. He was married. The marriage didn't work out. Allah Jalla Wala knows best. So now he wants to really settle down. So if and he lives with his mother. His father passed away. So he's the only son. So remember that. And he's got no other brothers and so forth. So you got brother?
One sister.
He got one brother. He's the one brother and his one sister. But she's married and that's so. It's only him and his mother there. So if you're interested, mashallah, then after the program, quarter past 12, you can phone and 011-854-2990. And you can speak. You don't speak, get your brother or your father to speak to him and so forth. And then you can take the matter further. So you're saying you want Allah Ta'ala's mercy. mercy. So yeah, Allah's mercy came straight away to you.
SubhanAllah.
And you read two rakat salat daily and read Rabbana hablana min azwajina wa dhurriyatina qurrata ayun. Ya Allah, grant us such spouses and such children that are the coolness of the eyes. See, Allah, make easy for you. So it depends now. I gave you what I know, and inshallah, Allah Ta'ala make easy for you also.
Paki pakai, Ustad. I like that word, mashallah. Ustad is a nanny or a mother, 68 years of age. She wants to know if it's permissible for her to put makeup or lipstick just for her husband, Ustad.
So if you put for your husband in the house, then it's no problem. So maybe you're 68 and your husband is 70. So maybe he's gone old and cold and so forth. And now when he looks at you, his heart will become young, inshallah. He will say, hey, Poppy, you're looking very nice today. And then the sparks will fly and so forth. So that's very good inside the house, no problem and so forth. But you want to doll up and put lipstick and all this makeup and go outside, totally for young lady and old lady, all haram. Habibuna rahmatul lil alameen sallallahu alayhi wasallam, authentic hadith in Tirmidhi Sharif, idha kharajat il mar'a, and when a woman leaves her home, emerges from her home, wa hiya muta'attira, and she applied the perfume, makeup, all that, and fa marrat bi majlisi kada wa kada, and she passed the man can see her, all that, the fragrance is spreading here and there, fa hiya zan. She is like an adulteress. Who said this? The Master sallallahu alaihi wasallam, fa zaniya. So outside kala, auntie, nani is haram. Inside the house for your husband, very good. So mashallah, you get the old sparks flying. You know, sometimes the spark plugs of the car also they pick up. So but now you just refurbish it, mashallah, then it start working again properly, inshallah.
Ameen, ameen, thumma ameen. 29 minutes to 12. Somebody says, Ustad, from Swaziland, I have 8 kids, and my husband wants now to go to number 10. Men don't know the pains we go through giving birth, Ustad. Can I inflict pain to my husband so we can get a clue what we women go through? From Swaziland, Ustad.
You can't do all these type of things. You and your husband must have a meeting and you must say, Ya Allah, whatever is khair for us, whatever is best for us, so let us have that. So if Allah wants 9, the 9 will come. If Allah wants 10, then 10 will come. I'm married with Allah's help and Allah's mercy. My in-laws, I had 10 sons and one daughter, and she came number 11 also. So remember that if Allah wants to give you 10, Allah wants to give you 11, Allah will give you. There's no such thing now. You must inflict pain on your husband, all that. All that is all ignorant talk, that is futile talk. So you and your husband must say, Ya Allah, this is the best dua you can make for one another. Rabbana hablana min azwajina wa dhurriyatina qurrata a'yun. Surah 25 verse 74, Ya Allah, grant us our spouses and children that are the coolness of the eye. And thereafter you must say, Allahumma inna nas'aluka al-afwa wal-afiyah fi dini wa dunya wal-akhirah. Ya Allah, we ask of you forgiveness. Ya Allah, grant us afiyah, safety, comfort, good health, good wealth, honor and preservation, protection of our Iman, Islam, that will be first. So it's one word, afiyah, but it has an encyclopedic meaning. And then Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, whoever asks this type of duas, Allah will give him the best in this world in the year after. Open Ibn Majah, Mishkat Sharif. So therefore, instead of fighting and arguing, both of you make dua individually. Both of you make dua collectively. And Allah will then bring about more love and mahabba for you. MashaAllah, you all are 10 already. You 8 children. And number 9, you the mother, the wife. And number 10, the husband. So now if your husband wants more, so don't just say no. Say we ask Allah for afiyah. We ask Allah for whatever is the best. So that is how you respond. Not you take out the scissor and go poke him and all that. So remember, that is all foolish things to do.
I see there's a listener says that I enjoy your show so much, but some people have more problems than others, Ustad. Now, after hearing your show, I'm having 2 minds of getting married. What is your advice, Ustad?
So in life, you don't listen to me and become negative. You must listen to Almighty Allah Jalla Wala. You must listen to Habibuna Mustafa Rahmatulil Alameen Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So Almighty Allah says, write down you, my sister or brother, Surah 39, chapter 39, verse 53. La taqnatu min rahmatillah. Never become disillusioned in the mercy of Almighty Allah. Allah Ta'ala's mercy is always. Come read with me now. You, my brother, sister, whoever. All of you read. All the esteemed listeners of Sirius FM and Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlu Sunnah Jama'a, Garden Radio, whatever, where you are listening, read now. Chapter 7, Surah 7, Surah Araf, verse 151. Wa adakhilna fi rahmatik. Ya Allah, include us in your special mercy. Wa adakhilna fi rahmatik. Wa anta arhamur rahimin. Whilst you, Ya Allah, Jalla Wala, you are the most merciful one to show mercy. So what is Allah telling you, my brother, sister? Allah is telling you, always look at the mercy of Almighty Allah. There's no place in Islam that we become disillusioned and go into the state of despair. Nay, that is for non-Muslims. Mentioned in Surah Yusuf, that the non-Muslims do, we are Muslim. Then Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam's hadith, and remember, you will find this type of hadith in Bukhari, Muslim, Mishkat, Musnad Ahmad, with various types of wordings. Qala Nabiul Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Master sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, Qala Allahu azza wa jalla, Allah jalla wa la states, Ana akunu ala dhanni abdi bi. As my servant thinks of me, so that is the way I will treat him. So you must say, Ya Allah, you are Arhamur Rahimeen. Ya Allah, your attribute and your name is Ya Wadud, Ya Wadud, Ya Wadud. Ki you're a male, Ya Allah, grant me a pious, good wife, Ya Allah. You are a female, Ya Allah, grant me a good, Allah-fearing husband, Ya Allah. So that is how you learn to speak to Almighty Allah.
Allahu Akbar, subhanallah. I try my best to see to the needs of the family and the wife's needs, Mufti Sahab, but times are tough and the wife is working from home. Is this acceptable? I have not physically given the wife cash for her needs, but I spend my last cent ensuring that there is food on the table. I don't have any bad habits. I don't even smoke, Mufti Sahab, Ustad.
So as long as you are looking after the wife and children, if you got extra, you can give them the cash. But if you don't have, so remember, that's fine. At least you are taking care of them to the best of your means and ability, capability, capacity. So that's good enough, inshallah. Second one, you say your wife is working from home, so maybe she's making some musas, bhajyas and what have you. But you must remember the Prophet, and whatever is coming is her money. It's not your money. So you can impose upon her that, okay, you will pay the rental, but she must pay the water lights. Okay, you will pay for the uniform, but she must pay for the school fees or something. I'm just giving examples, obviously. So meaning that you say, no, because you are working now, so you must start paying for the husband or paying for the children. Islam don't allow that. So when you allow her to work from the house and she's making money, profit, P-R-O-F-I-T, so all that belongs to her. You cannot impose upon her that she must be doing this, she must be doing that. On her own heart, from her own heart, from the goodness of her heart, her generosity is there. She wants to spend on her own without you imposing upon her. That's a different issue. So we need to be clear on all these issues, my brother.
So, Ustad, when I'm shouting my son, my husband, he always have a problem with that. But when he's shouting him, I don't say anything. Ustad, your advice?
when you have children, then you, the husband, wife, now vis-a-vis, when you look to your children, then you are the parents. So the problem is this, you don't discuss issues. Instead of making J-A-W, you'll make war. So what happens? The children exploit it. Let me elaborate and explain. So you, husband, wife, and both of you are in khalwa, you're in privacy, you're alone. So you must have a joint strategy. Oh, hubby, there is the son of ours. He does this, he does this. How are we going to handle the situation? We have this daughter and she has the certain habits. So how are we going to have a joint strategy? So both of you must have a strategy. You're both on the same page. When you're going to say ABC as a mother, and the husband, the father says XYZ, that son, that daughter, never mind how small or young they are, 4, 5, 6, 7 years old, they found a weakness, they found a niche. Mm. And what is that? They will play the mother against the father, they'll play the father against the mother, and so forth and so on. Because you yourself, you don't have a strategy and a joint strategy. So that is how. So both of you, when it's time to give them love, give them that love. When it's time to rebuke them, reprimand them, then both of you should do that. Not one is doing and the other one is shouting and so forth and so on. So that is what you mean by a joint strategy. So that is how you solve the problem. And then after every salat, in the darkness of the night, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, you know we're entering summer now. So the nights are getting shorter, the days are getting longer. Allah give tawfiq to whosoever He wishes. If you can, then very good. Wake up early part of the morning, tahajjud time, read 2, 4, 6, 8 rakat, all in twos is the best, and then cry, beg, petition, beseech Almighty Allah. Read now with me, Surah 46, chapter 46, 26 juz, 26 part, 26 supara, verse 15, 1-5. The verse is but long, but you read there the middle portion. Now read with me, all of you parents, grandparents, was chapter 46, verse 15, 1-5. وأصلح لي في ذريتي وأصلح لي في ذريتي. Ya Allah, bring about reform, bring about piety, bring about goodness in my children, in my progeny. What a powerful, potent dua it is. Never undermine the importance of dua. Dua mein kanjusi nahi. In dua, never be stingy. Make dua for yourself, make dua for your children, make dua for your parents, siblings, make dua for those who passed away with Iman and Islam. Then you make dua for the whole ummah and the entire humanity and human race. So that is what a Muslim does, remember. And when we beg Allah, how should we beg Allah? Hadith in Tirmidhi Sharif, إِذَا سَأَلْتُمُ اللَّهِ وَأَنْتُمْ مُوقِنُونَ بِالْإِجَابَةِ. When you beg Almighty Allah Jalla Wala, you yourself must have the firm conviction that my beloved Allah is and will accept my dua.
Well, it's exactly now 18 minutes to 12. We're going to go, inshallah, for an interval. When we come back, inshallah, we will continue with the bliss of marriage. Stay tuned.
Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.
Well, it's exactly now 15 minutes to 12. You are tuning in, listening to The Bliss of Marriage, live on Merkaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah, and of course, live on Sirius FM, Haji Faisal Asmal and Hafiz Yusuf Asmal and Company. Remember, 0847863132, international overseas listeners, plus 2784786 3132. Ustad, somebody says here, check your kitabs of women's right. If Prophet Muhammad, this is from Escort, if Prophet Muhammad was alive, then I think he should have reprimanded the Taliban. They too arrogant for our sisters. Stop it, Mufti AK. We also sisters in Islam. Ustad.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. The problem with y'all is that you look at the Western media, your TV and your news, your newspaper, and y'all took the vaccine and y'all then got the herd mentality. So you must remember then what you want to do, then you want to just repeat like the parrot what the Western media says and so forth and so on. Let me pose three questions to you. to you, my sister, escort or wherever. Show me one country in the world, Muslim country, Arab country, any country, non-Muslim also. So remember, they took on 48 countries one time, coalition. And you must remember these ladies that you are saying the Taliban are oppressing them. They gave birth to such mujahideen that they fought with them till the end, and they gave their lives and so forth. And in the ending, after 20 years invasion, these Americans and their coalition of 48 countries had to put their tails between their legs and run. And remember, the Taliban beat them. Is that not what the great thing the women did? Maybe they don't know English like you. Maybe they don't know how to operate the computers and cell phones like you. But they gave birth to such mujahideen that they brought pride to this ummah in this belated day and age, that it showed what is quwwat e-imani. So you show me. So when they got defeated, so what they do? The propaganda comes. The Taliban are like this, the Taliban are like this. Now, 2 days ago, 3 days ago, the Taliban told them, they told America, the mighty America, we got your one guy here. We will never release him until you release our guy from Guantanamo Bay. Show me how many other countries can do that. So remember, sister, you are a byproduct of the propaganda of the Western media. We don't say Taliban are not guilty. They are guilty on certain issues. But for you to write them off and so forth, the problem today with the Muslim Ummah, you also fall in that category. You don't want to practice on Islam, the true Islam. Since when Islam gave this right, wear niqab and parda and run around, run a taxi, go to school, go to madrasa, go shopping, go bazaar, go this, every day, every second day. Islam taught that. Absolutely haram that is. Not Taliban's law, is Allah's law. So what you must do, sister, write all these verses down, and you must listen to what Allah says. Surah 33, verse 59. Chapter 33, verse 59. I read for you. Ya ayyuha Nabi, O Mustafa. You said Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this is what Nabi alayhi sallam was commanding. Ya, and it's for all times, all places. Ya ayyuha Nabi, kulli azwajik, tell your honorable wives. Wa banatik, your beloved daughters. Wa nisa'il mu'mineen, and the believing women, the men must tell their women. So remember, we must tell our women, our mothers, our daughters, wives, sisters, and so forth, that yudnina alayhinna min jalabibihin, that they must let down, that the outer garment must cover their entire body, including the face. Is Allah's law, is Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's law, or Taliban's law? So what Taliban are doing are enforcing the law of Islam. But you don't like it. So what must we do about it? So because the West doesn't like it, so you must remember these type of things here. Yeah? So that is number one. Number two, go open Surah 24, Surah Nur. Therefore our mother Siddiqa, Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha, used to say, teach your female Surah Nur. Chapter 24, and it comprises 64 verses. And you will see there in chapter 24, verse 31, Allah Ta'ala says where you can expose your beauty, and not in front of all and sundry. So, وَلَا يُبْدِينَ زِينَتَهُنَّ إِلَّا لِبُؤُولَتِهِنَّ أَوْ آبَائِهِنَّ أَوْ آبَائِ بُؤُولَتِهِنَّ. So Almighty Allah has mentioned a list. But today the woman, Muslim woman, generally, so I speak about not all, but 70-80%, they want to expose their beauty in front of all and sundry. The face must be open, the makeup must be there, and so forth, and so on, and so all that. Since when all that is jaiz and permissible? Is Allah's law or Taliban's law there? So they just want to implement the Islamic law and the Islamic Sharia. So that is what Islam is all about. Now, if you don't like it, that is not Taliban's problem. It's your problem. You have to see whether we have iman or not. If your father, husband tell you, read five times salat, you say, no, I don't like. So now you blame them and so forth. So whose fault is that? So we must understand. And third thing, my sisters, chapter 33, verse 33 of the Noble Quran, وَقَرْنَ فِي بُيُوتِكُنَّ, stay glued in your houses. That is what Islam says. Islam says if there's a real need, then you go out. All this that our women in South Africa, Arab countries and Muslim countries are understanding, but when I say majority, it means majority of the women are understanding. You just wear a rake, a cover on your face and wear some hijab and so forth and abaya and run around driving, going here, going running a taxi and going school, madrasa here and there, going to soccer tournaments and what then what, all that haram, sister. Don't fool yourself, remember. Islam don't need redefinition. Islam don't need modernization. Our Islam is pure for all times and all places.
Let me just read the two questions to start on the topic. One says here, Mufti Saab, please don't entertain women. They don't want to follow Quran. They're already lost and misleading other women. I see Kari Saab says, our sisters want to love like the Jones. See how Friday and Saturday nights in the malls they go and have supper and sit and laugh with friends and even parda women. Dua mayad hai. Kari Saab Ustad.
So you must remember that is wrong, that we mustn't give advice to the women because they don't want to practice. No, that is wrong. Remember that we will never lose hope in the mercy of Almighty Allah. How many a male, how many a female, were so far from Islam and so forth. And remember, one ayat, one advice, one hadith changed their whole mind and whole heart. Today somebody had contacted us and said, you know what, I'm listening to you and my whole life has changed. Today. Mm. So that we don't agree with. You must remember that. And you can't be judgmental and say, leave them alone, and that's wrong. So, yes, what Qari Saab said, that we agree with. That you see Iman and Haya. It goes as twins, as two together. That Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, in innal iman wal haya'a qurana'u jamia. Verily iman, faith and conviction, and shame and modesty, they go as two partners, jamia. Idha rufi'a ahaduhuma rufi'a al-akhir. When the iman gets weaker, weaker, the haya gets less and less. When the haya, shame, modesty disappears, then the iman also goes away. You don't see the non-Muslims that remember for her, the lady, to run around in front of the men there with a bikini, stickini, is nothing, absolutely normal. The haya is gone and the shame is gone and the iman is gone and so forth. Then for them to share, you must remember, have a relationship with this man and that man, it's all just acceptable. It's my democratic right, it's my human right, and all these funny crazy terms they will give. Islam taught us, listen to what Quran is saying, you my sisters, and you my sister from Escort. You know, I don't know you, but because I'm just using as example. So go read the ayat, chapter number 28, and surah 28, and verse 24, 25, 26. The story of Nabi Musa alayhi salam. He enters Midian from Egypt. He doesn't know anybody. He needs boarding, lodging. He sees two ladies one side. What's wrong with you? Abuna Shaykhun Kabir. Our father is very old. When the men go away, then we fill up our buckets of water and we take it home. He said, fine. He went, he filled up the buckets, everything. They saw how strong and honest this person is. He didn't raise his gaze, nothing. And he told them, okay, here's your buckets, take it and you can go home. The father was so impressed, he sent the daughter, Safira radiallahu anha, who subsequently becomes the wife of Nabi Musa alayhi salam, go invite that man and tell him to come home. Allah is describing this lady, her gait, G-A-I-T, her style of walking. فَجَاءَتْهُ إِحْدَاهُمَا تَمْشِي عَلَى اسْتِحْيَاءَ. One of them, Sayyida Safura radiallahu anha, came, and what she did, that remember that she was walking with haya, shame and modesty. Allah praised her and so forth. Now take that as a lesson, and now we go to the restaurant. Three women, five women, six women, whatever, in front of everybody, laughing, joking, does that and so forth. No, I got my parda on. So who's fooling who? So remember these things here. And then to eat outside, first of all. You must remember this, that I was in Durban last week. For you must remember what you call this funeral. And so we had options. We could go eat there in the hotel. We could go eat by my sister. I said, no, me, I don't eat here. Let's go there. So you must remember these type of things here. So you are what you eat. Today, let me be honest about these things here. Outside, everything looks very nice. You know, it's shining, the fork and knife and the plates and us and all that, the sandwich and what and what and what and the meal. But go and see how they prepare it. People who don't even wash, they are their front or back, they just use toilet paper. They are preparing it. So what you say about the food? I'm asking you. Did you ever think of that? So you must remember, think properly about all these issues. Right.
Somebody says, Ustad, that my wife wants a divorce. What is her procedure, Ustad?
I don't advocate divorce. We don't know why she wants divorce. Don't ask what is the procedure. Ask what is wrong with you, brother. So did you hit her? Did you assault her? Are you on drugs? Are you on alcohol? Are you busy with other women? These are the questions you must be asking, brother. Not what is the procedure and so forth. You must save your marriage, not go and break your marriage. وَسُلْحُ خَيْرٍ Reconciliation is the best. So go and ask your wife for forgiveness. You got children, my brother, 2-3 children maybe. The children should be the means of reconciliation. Not tomorrow your son, your daughter grows up, look in you in the eye. Oh, Papa, oh, Abi, oh, Daddy. For what you divorce, Mommy? What answer will you give? Because you hit her? Because you're busy on drugs, because you're womanizing, because you're doing some other unda dandas and so forth? That is the question you should be asking, my brother. So leave all the divorce and so forth. Go back to your wife. Tell her, no, I'm to change. And these are the conditions. You lay it down and then we will make this marriage work for the pleasure of Allah. So we can receive the intercession of the Master Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And then I will lead a straight life and so forth. That is what you must do, my brother. Not come and ask you how to give divorce and so forth. Okay. So, finish.
You start.
Right, now we carry on, inshallah, with our program. Our news has to go out on time also. So, inshallah, brother Suleiman Esop, inshallah. So, he will render the news at 12. 12 to 1 will be remain in control of your senses, meaning that you take care of it. Mufti Ibrahim Salaji, Spingo Beach. 1 o'clock, Zohar Azan, 105 to 130, Surah Ma'arij, chapter 70, verses 13 to 28. Verses 13 to 28, 130 to 2. From the archives and Surah Ahzab verses 49-50, 2-3 current affairs with Brother Yusuf Ali, 3-3:30 the repeat of the Q&A, and then 3:30-4 fiqh, the rights of spouses. See how important that is. What are the husband's rights? What are the wife's rights? Listen to that between 3:30 and 4 today. 4-5 must be Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam ke talwar mubarak. So the sword mubarak of the Master Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam by Mufti Khanpuri, mashallah, so wonderful. That will be 5-7, Mawana Khalid Yaqub. 7-7:30, today's tafsir, the repeat of it, and Surah Ma'arij, verses 13-28. 7:30-8, Mawana Yunus Patel, Rahimahullah's advices, 8-10, month after dinner. Jazakallah khair, salamu alaikum. Inshallah, now the news with Brother Suleiman Esop.
Wa alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. That was our beloved, honorable, respected Fadilatul Ustad Hazrat Mulana Mufti Abdul Qadir Hussein Hafidhahullah. Well, up next is the 12 o'clock news with Haji Suleiman Esop.
Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.